D-Mace Finnegan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service, and we are proudly presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. Willie Donick in Las Vegas, Nevada, with the Predators, fresh off a win last night in Utah, a 4-3 shootout win against the Utah Hockey Club. And I just want to commend Willie Donick for just a moment before we begin the show. Willie Donick is in Las Vegas right now. He could be at the craps table, or the roulette table, or on the slot machines.
I think I'm getting word he is.
He could be at some all-you-can-eat buffet, stuff in his face.
That's where I would
be. He could be at the pool at some foam party with some busty co-eds. But he decided to be here with us. Thank you, Willie.
Busty co-workers.
I said busty co-eds. Busty co-eds.
I mean, still.
He means like mentally. Like mentally.
Mentally. Because that's okay, mentally
Willie,
busty.
I mean, you got to be able to talk. You got to be able, if you want to even get near Willie, you got to be able to, you know, you got
to
communicate.
True. You have to be able, to communicate.
Yeah,
you have
converse.
To be able to converse with
exactly.
Willie Donick.
Yeah,
yeah, my point is that is. The world is Willie Donick's oyster in Las Vegas, Nevada, but he decided to be here with us. So
man,
thank you, Willie.
I'm surprised well, you didn't get off
welcome.
The plane.
You're welcome.
Go straight to the slot.
No place I'd rather be. Of course, the show does end at noon local time, so the day is young. The day is young.
That phone party starts at noon sharp.
And those slot machines will be warm.
There is no time that you can't gamble in this city.
Exactly.
That is for sure.
It don't matter. You wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, and you can go gamble right then and there.
That's why there are clocks at the casino.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why
there's no clocks.
There are no windows, right?
Right, and you go inside, and you can't tell what time it is.
Nope.
And the sun could come up and down, and you wouldn't know it.
I always found those all-you-can-eat buffets at the Las Vegas hotels to be intimidating. Like, I the price you have to pay in order to partake in the buffet, like, I don't think I can eat enough food to justify the cost.
I'm just like, I can't eat the food because it's sitting out and everybody else is picking at it. I don't care how big the overage is of the glass, the protection glass. I don't care how much it comes over. If I ain't the first person up there, I ain't eating it. If it's been picked on any, I'm not touching it. And Vegas just reminds you, it's like, seems like all of the buildings have been there since the 1950s.
Willie, how do you feel about an all-you-can-eat buffet?
I'm kind of with Mace. It depends on the location, the quality. But I'm not like I used to be with that. I think when I was in high school, you know, especially when you're like a minor league baseball player and your funds are limited, you're looking for those. Like that is where you want to be, is the all-you-can-eat, because you take full advantage. But nowadays, I'm not quite looking for it as much as I was.
No joke. Several years ago, I went to an all-you-can-eat establishment with a friend of mine who ate so much, the server came over to the table and was just like, you're done, right? You've had all you could eat? Like, she was, I think, a little bit disgusted by the amount of food that he ate.
Well, you know, that did happen. Buffet. That did happen to Leon in Curb Your Enthusiasm. He was ejected from a restaurant for eating too much at the all-you-can-eat buffet.
That is absolutely
Larry David
true.
Was not. It was a dilemma for Larry because his buddy Leon was ejected, but Larry was okay. He was allowed to come back, and they tried to ban Leon for life. Not only did they throw him out, but they wanted him to never come back.
Yes, I forgot about that. Thank you for reminding me of that. But Willie, we are glad you are here. You'll be out in time to play the penny slots or the nickel slots or whatever it is that you do. So we've talked a lot about one quarterback, Cam Ward. Mm-hmm. We spent a lot of time talking about Cam Ward. We will continue to spend a lot of time talking about Cam Ward. But I want to start today's show.
You mean the draft wasn't yesterday while Nashville was winning in the shootout? 4-3. By the way, just a quick side note, because I can't wait for the draft to get here, because let's have some finality here. But Utah did do a tremendous job. That was our first experience. That was a great atmosphere. And when they get that renovated and configured to have more fans in there, that place has been really well preserved. I don't know, the Delta Center opened in the early 90s, I think, when the Jazz, they used to play at the old, a place called the old Salt Palace that Pete Weber called some games in when he was doing LA Kings games way, way back, or Seattle Supersonics games, I think is what he was doing. But that's a great building, and it was rocking. Fun game last night. And our broadcast site was right in the crowd, so it was really fun. And so that is a welcome sight. And Adam, I know you went to the old, I shouldn't say old, but the original arena in Arizona for the Coyotes out in Glendale, which
yes.
never really rocked. You know, when the playoffs were there, it got going. But a regular season game there, not great. And then they played at Arizona State. Did you ever go to one of those games?
I did not go to Bullet Arena.
Oh, I mean, it was a cool spot the first time you went there, but it just was not an NHL venue by any stretch. So this is a big upgrade to have Utah in the league, and they're in the Central Division, so looking forward to future visits. And it was a great game. UC Soros stood on his head, and there was some exciting moments. Better late than never, you know, to have these things, but two straight really fun nights.
So we will talk about Cam Ward at some point today, I'm sure, but I want to talk about a different quarterback who's in the news. Nico Iamaliava. Some really interesting reporting about Tennessee's quarterback. Adam Sparks of the Knoxville News Sentinel writes this, quote, Tennessee quarterback Nico Iamaliava is negotiating a new multi-million-dollar NIL deal just ahead of the transfer portal opening on April 16th, according to a report Thursday. On3.com reported that Iamaliava and the NIL collective that pays him on behalf of Tennessee are trying to hammer out a deal this week. He signed a blockbuster NIL contract in 2022, which reportedly paid him more than $2 million per year. But the market has risen for the highest-paid quarterbacks. Miami's Carson Beck and Duke's Darian Mensah got close to $4 million, CBS Sports reported, but they had to go into the transfer portal to get those deals. Now, Adam Sparks had some additional reporting that late last night, Iamaliava's father responded to the report, claiming ignorance of any negotiations and pointing to an unnamed UT staffer for leaking the story. And then earlier today, Pete Thamel of ESPN tweeted this, quote, Tennessee quarterback Nico Iamaliava did not attend Tennessee spring practice today. He's been in conversations with Tennessee about a new contract. The no-show of practice came as a surprise. So a lot to unpack there. Derek, what do you make of this story about Nico Iamaliava?
This is just another story. And you know, like I said, I hope it works out for everybody. And it, you know, if he chooses to go somewhere else, I'm sure he'll get some money. But this is just yet another story of, you know, what happens when you don't get a hold of this before the horse is out of the barn or hay is out of the barn, so to speak. When you don't have any parameters or guidelines or things in place prior to all of this happening, this is what occurs. And this is what, you know, Tom Izzo talked about, you know, during March Madness, is the portal being open at a point of time where teams are in conference championship games. Teams are in March Madness. Teams are just now setting their roster for spring ball. They're in workouts. And you leave the portal, you open the portal from a time, you know, from a slot where all of this is going on. And now, you know, we get into, you know, our spring game or right before our spring game, and we don't know if our quarterback is going to be with us or not. It's nothing but the NFL. It's professional football. It's professional football that you got to go to class. That's all it is. Professional football, oh, but you got to go to class just so you can be able to stay on the field. That's what it is. That's why I think eventually they are going to part ways. If they could find a way to part ways from these universities and still get the money that they're getting, they would.
Willie, we have some new reporting from Chris Lowe of ESPN. Tennessee quarterback Nico Iamaliava, amid reports that he wanted to renegotiate his NIL deal, did not show at Friday morning's practice, sources told ESPN. And it was a surprise to Tennessee staff members and players. Iamaliava's reps denied Thursday there was any renegotiation talk. his reps were adamant Thursday to news outlets that there was no NIL renegotiation going on. But sources tell ESPN there has been growing frustration among the administration and players about the situation, especially when Iamaliava didn't show for practice. Right before the winter portal closed, Iamaliava's reps wanted to see his deal up to $4 million range. And again, this time, as the spring portal opens Wednesday, and according to sources, Tennessee officials said they, quote, weren't going to blink.
I have so many questions. I'm sure, though, that this is all being incorrectly reported, guys, because it's a misunderstanding. He didn't show up for practice, I'm told, just because he had a makeup exam in a science class that was scheduled for 3:30, and practice started at 3. And so they just told the coach, he's not going to be at practice today. He's got a makeup test. I'm sure this is just all on the surface.
One giant misunderstanding.
So is it out that that's what happened? Like, he had a test, and that's why? If that is out, then okay. But if it's not out, wouldn't that be the easiest thing to say at the beginning?
I think Willie is being
like, if a guy didn't
care.
Show up to a sprint practice.
Okay, I was about to say, like, I missed that one, Willie. Went over my head. I'm sorry.
I think that would have been a perfectly reasonable thing that might have happened in 1990 when I was on campus playing.
It may have happened.
But now it's like, oh, we can't miss a practice for anything. Like, that's a whole side. Like, but here's my question. This is, again, we're playing professional. It's professional football. What is he renegotiating? Did he sign a contract? Like, I remember reading about this kid when he was, well, he wasn't even a senior in high school. He was, it might have been a sophomore. I don't know. I think he was a junior. And he was, NIL was brand new. He signed with Tennessee. He was collecting money before he ever got to the campus. But I guess it's not enough. But does he have a deal? Like, was he signed to something? And now he doesn't like it? Or is this just a, hey, 1 year, every so often we just decide the market has changed and I'm not coming to practice. So now holdouts are a part of NIL. Welcome to professional sports.
And listen, we should have saw this coming.
Of course.
I mean,
but nobody writes, nobody has contracts. There's no agreement. There's no website where you look and see what the market is or anything like that. It's
according to ESPN.
Blind.
He's scheduled to make.
It's not good for either side.
According to ESPN, he's scheduled to make $2.4 million this year. He's looking to renegotiate his deal to the $4 million.
That's all speculation, right?
Okay. Based upon what the gatherings that they're getting, the monies are that much. But think about this, Willie.
But was he signed? I guess my question is, was he signed?
I guess
to
supposedly
play this year at $2.4 million. He agreed to that money.
Well, I guess,
or that was last year.
It's
and
speculated
was,
that that's yeah. what.
I will do a little bit more research as you
because,
two address
because
it.
Isn't that it? Like at some point, I understand the market is what it is, and there are no rules. But ethically, if you've agreed to play for $2.4 million, then I'm sorry. In college, you have to take. You have to settle for $2.4 million. But this is ridiculous. But this is what they've signed up for.
According to Adam Sparks,
there are no rules
of the Knoxville News Sentinel, in 2022, Iamaliava signed a blockbuster NIL contract, which reportedly paid him more than $2 million per year and paved the way for the five-star recruit to sign with Tennessee.
Now, is that a contract? Is it an ironclad contract?
Yeah,
or is it open for negotiations? Because – again, this is professional sports, and I understand that the window was shorter in college, but like professional sports, we see it all the time. You sign a new deal, and then 2 years into that new deal, after that second year, you're like, I've outplayed this. The market was low. It's risen. I want to renegotiate. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong, but this is where we are in a space where – you get to, because there's no ramifications. There's no punishment because you are not going to just take that guy's scholarship away. You're not. Because if you take his scholarship away, there are going to be 10 other schools waiting to give him that money. So you're not taking his scholarship away. You're not demoting him. You're not saying you can't practice or coming away. There's nothing you can do as a head coach. But this
it's
is
terrible.
But. You can't blame the kids. You can't blame these agents. You can't blame the coaches. Blame every GM that has been in power at least 15 years. Blame them. Because that is the reason.
With?
Regardless of who the contract is with.
Yeah. But see, I think that's it. The coach didn't sit there across the table from him and say, okay.
But they knew why he was coming.
Here's the contract.
But they
knew why. You look me in the eye. I look you. We're going to pay you this money. You look me in the eye. You're our quarterback. Done deal. And that's not how it works. There's some third party. There's agents.
Exactly.
All of this stuff. Who knows if Josh Heupel even knows what's in the contract?
But they know.
And,
but
you know what are the stipulations about getting all that money?
But
these coaches know,
Willie. These coaches know when it comes to these 5-star recruits, they know where the money's coming from. Now they have no say in it, but they know exactly where the money coming from and why that. If Mahoney, you know, say if he when his you know when he was being recruited. He goes to Denison, and they give him money, and they give him a lot of money. That head coach at Denison knows why he's coming to Denison. It's because of the money and who's paying out the money. So we can't absolve these head coaches of not, like, they don't know. No, they know. They just can't do anything about it. So, again.
But see, that's where we've gotten so far away for why you go to college. I mean, I still think, you know, there are places. Mm-hmm. And there are people that do believe that even with the money involved, mm-hmm. that you're going to play for a school, you're going to play for a program, you're going to play for a location, and the culture of that is important. But we're getting away from that. We're getting just straight up mercenary. I don't like it here. I'm going over there. I don't like what I'm getting paid here. I'm either going to get paid more here. Or I'm going over there to somebody who will pay me. Now, here's the real question. If he's really trying to leverage for $4 million, at what point does Tennessee say, you know what, Nico, you're pretty good, but we'll get another guy. We'll get another guy for $2 million. Go ahead. Go play. But this is – and, you know, for all we know, he'll go across the street and play for Mississippi State. I don't know. Maybe Mississippi State would pay him $4 million. But this is the nuttiness that we've gotten to. And these are the decisions now that coaches have to make. Because at some point – I don't know who Tennessee's, quote, GM is. They probably have one, and they probably have a value for all the players. Is Nico worth $4 million? I don't know what the market is. What do other quarterbacks get? I have no idea.
615-737-1025. We'll start there. Your thoughts on Nico Iamaliava not attending spring practice on Friday. He is reportedly seeking a new contract. 615-737-1025. We'll take all of your thoughts on that on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHunted.com. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Nashville Sounds take on Memphis. Pregame begins at 6:20 and the first pitch is at 6:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Tune in later tonight to 102.5 The Game for Vanderbilt baseball as the Commodores face Oklahoma. Pregame begins at 6:45 and the first pitch is at 7. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app, and at thegamenashville.com. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you, talking Nico Iamaliava. He did not show up for practice today. He is reportedly seeking. A new contract. The numbers of his current contract, based on various reports, seem to be between $2 and $2.5 million. And it sounds like he wants upwards of $4 million. Carson Beck, who is following Cam Ward at Miami. See, we could find a way to rope Cam Ward into this conversation.
Absolutely.
Carson Beck, of course, previously of Georgia. Now at Miami, after Cam Ward leaves, he got $4 million in 2025. The ex-Tulane quarterback, Darian Mensah, received what is believed to be a groundbreaking, according to CBS Sports, two-year, $8 million deal with Duke to transfer from Tulane to Duke. And a lot of reaction on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. One texter says, Vols need to tell him to kick rocks. He isn't Peyton Manning like he thinks. Joel from Woodbury says, most likely what happened with Nico, another school offered $4 million. Another texter says, if Nico's getting $4 million, then Diego Pavia is worth 4.25.
Ha! Now, Derek, let me ask you a question. All right. You signed. Let's just say a 2-year, $10 million contract. $5 million a year, and a guy, after your first year, you make your $5 million. You do a good job. A guy who is about equal to you or not as good as you, turns around and signs a 3-year deal for $20 million. And you're like, I'm better than that guy. Can you do anything about it?
I mean, you could
hold out, right? But you signed the contract, right? I'm guessing that's at the center of this, right?
Yeah, technically you can't.
He's agreed. Somewhere in here, he's agreed to 2 point whatever he's supposed to make. And he's looking around, and the market's rising. Everybody's getting into the game, and quarterbacks are making a lot more. I think that's probably at the crux of this, if I had to guess from afar without knowing anything about it.
But that's
life, right? That's what happened. That's the business part of it. You sign a contract.
But here lies the problem with that. Is that even though I signed a year contract or 2-year contracts, it is predicated on me playing for UT, and it doesn't restrict me from leaving and going and play somewhere else. So if indeed that's the case, again, I can choose to sit out. You know why? Because the minute I say I'm done, I'm leaving, you can't stop me from making money with somebody else. Because that person over there is offering
me. Because he's allowed
to
transfer.
Yeah, because he's allowed to transfer. And now they know I'm transferring. They know what my money is. They're going to step up to the plate. See, again.
But what are we teaching young people? These are young adults.
What the world is teaching them? What the U.S. is teaching? Capitalism. It's about capitalism, man.
I know, but what is your but what does your word mean?
Nothing.
What is your bond?
Nothing.
Is loyalty? You sign a deal.
Willie, nothing.
You
it means
commitment.
Nothing.
Willie, to quote,
that's nothing. Wrong.
To quote, I know. I get it.
That's not good.
I get it.
To quote the million-dollar man, Ted DiBiase. Everybody has a price.
Ooh, he went back.
Everybody
WWF.
Has a price.
Man, you went back in the day with that one. But listen, I get what Willie. You are. I'm not arguing against that because you're right. I'm not arguing against that. But you're talking about an athlete in a system 15 years ago, or it ain't even that long, 5, 6, 7 years ago. Yes, in that system, all of that. What you say. Is absolutely true. And it should spill out, you know, into what's going on now. But it's professional sports without any regulations. That's all it is. Because if I'm runner-up to the Heisman this year, Derek Mason is runner-up to the Heisman, and you're paying me $4 million, and this contract is, you know, as long as I stay at, you know, wherever I'm at, Michigan State, even though Michigan State wouldn't do that. We do things on the up and up. But, so you offered me that contract. Now, I'm the favorite to win the Heisman. So that contract I signed was before I became runner-up to the Heisman. Now, you got to pay me. You have to. You have no choice if you want me to stay here, unless you got a stud behind me. But then you got to hope and pray that works. But I have you right by the jugular. You can't do anything about it. And the moral thing or the upstanding thing to do, and you're right, Willie, would be to say, hey, listen, man, I'm just going to honor it. Can y'all throw,
you
know,
gave you my work.
Yeah, I gave you my work, but can you throw a little bit on the side? Just, you know, do something else to sort of smooth this thing out. But the contract, I am going to honor it.
Okay.
That's not that.
Okay,
it's not
so
that
Derek,
anymore.
Let's play the other side.
It's not that anymore.
Let's play the other side. Nico signs a 2-year deal 2 years ago. I don't know when he signed this deal. I'm just guessing. This is all speculation. But let's say before last year.
He signed it in 2022.
Okay, he signs it in 2022. Let's say that last year he flops and has a bad year, and they don't make the playoffs. And he shows up to get his second year of $2.2 million, and Tennessee says, oh, you're not our starter anymore. You stunk last year. We're not honoring the contract. What then? Is that just life? But that's how it works?
Yep.
Is that how it's supposed to be?
Yep, because I've seen that happen plenty of times, even before NIL. As you know, Willie,
so this is
scholarship.
Survival
no.
of the fittest. It's all out there. It's
that's
straight,
what it's
straight up capitalism.
Willie, I'm not in agreement with it. I'm not wholeheartedly in agreement with it. But this is where we are right now. So you got to sort of play the game the way that everybody else is playing it. You know, I get what you're saying and everything else. But I've been in college where a guy got a scholarship 1 year, and then you turn around and look like, where's that guy? He didn't perform. He wasn't doing what he was supposed to do. You didn't even put him on probation. You was just like, hey, man, you go somewhere else, I take the next guy. It's been happening all along, but, you know, they didn't talk about it, you know. But now the player is in a position of power, and we can't blame anybody else but these presidents and these ADs who have been on a job for more than 10 years. You blame them, those that didn't want to change the system. You blame them because this is what we have now, is a system where I can move when I want to move, and you, sir or ma'am, can't do a darn thing about it, because if you want to take away the money, you want to take away my scholarship, I've already performed, I'm going to go to Georgia then. I'm going to go to Vanderbilt. I'm going to go to Southern Miss. I'm going to go to Alabama. I'm going to go to Michigan State. Why? Because they're going to pay me. And then the cycle starts again the next following year.
Look, I'm not going to act like what you're saying has never happened. There are coaches, for sure, over the years that have run people off. I would say, though, that the vast majority of coaches would not yank somebody's scholarship if the kid is doing the right things, even if he was not a great player. Like, that's where it really was cutthroat, if you took somebody's scholarship who was going to class, showing up for practice every day, working really hard, but just not good enough. But it did happen, right? But I think the coaches sometimes, too many, there are some bad apples, but most coaches just want to coach kids.
No, you're right.
Game. They didn't sign up for all this salary cap stuff and millions of dollars. This is crazy.
A couple of texters have pointed out that coaches do the same thing. And
oh, see, that's the thing. Coaches do, but let's not put it on the coach. This is new stuff. Most coaches just want to coach kids. They have to win, so they have to adapt.
But I'm thinking
not
of
what they wanted
to use a college basketball, a recent college basketball example. Kevin Willard and the messy departure from Maryland to go to Villanova, right? Coaches just can up and leave, right? And I think that's what the texters are pointing out, that Kevin Willard, he took the attention away from the Terps NCAA tournament run because he used news conferences to talk about all of the things Maryland wasn't doing to compete in basketball. And he would not directly answer whether or not he was going to stay with the program. And ultimately, he bailed for Villanova. So I think that is what the texters are saying, that coaches can just up and leave whenever they want. So why can't players as well?
But coaches have contracts. I'm sure there was a huge buyout that he had to pay, and that was agreed upon on the front end in a contract. He didn't break his contract. This is just how the profession has evolved. And yes, I understand that a kid could be sitting there and he's being coached by one guy one day and then the coach leaves, but that's been happening for 50 years. But there are contracts in there, there was a penalty, I'm sure. I'm sure it's been put in there somewhere, what he had to pay Maryland to buy himself out of his contract. Just like if Maryland fired him, he would get paid as well.
One texter says, players sign an agreement for use of their NIL not to play. There's no binding contract. If it was a binding contract, then the players would be employees, and the schools damn sure don't want to go down that road. That's from Jeremy in Ridgetop.
Hmm.
Tommy,
that's probably what needs to happen, right? Derek, you and I agree on that there just needs to be some sort of collective bargaining where we have a system so we don't have this madness.
But this is where we're at, you know. We are in a system, a huge system, a complex system, where there's no true guidelines. There may be, you know, a bumper here or there, but it's so far between, you know, bumpers are so far between one another that it doesn't matter. That's like, you know, you have, you know, the Cumberland, it has bumpers, but they're so far wide from one another, you still can have a lot of back and forth in a ship in regards to your movement, you know, and you can go even further than that with some of these lakes. Go to Lake Michigan or something like that. There are bumpers, but they're so far wide that you'll never reach them. So that's where we're at as a culture in sport, where the tide has drastically changed, instead of, you know, gradually becoming something that's more balanced, because it was so one-sided on at one point. Now it's so one-sided on the other point. And it's going to take years, unless the Power Three or Power Four, I think it's Power Four, it'd be a Power Three and then Power Two, until they break off from the NCAA, like completely break off. Then they can restart or renegotiate, you know, how they're going to handle the transfer portal and stuff like that. Because right now, I mean, it's going to be hard to do.
615-737-1025. We will continue to take your thoughts. Nico Iamaliava, no showing Tennessee spring practice as reports surface that he wants a new deal. 615-737-1025. This week's Nashville's best deal, speaking of deals, is from 12 Stones Crossing Golf Club in Goodlettsville. They offer 18 championship holes spanning over 6,800 yards with the meandering Madison Creek at its centerpiece. Get half off a $50 gift card now while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. D-Mace Vingen and Donick, 102.5, 106.3. The game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you, talking about Nico Iamaliava and all the goings-on with the Tennessee football program. Wes in Hermitage on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, could you all imagine Vandy just saying, you know what, let's stick it to UT. Let's give Nico 4.5 and call it done. See you guys in November.
Well, I mean, that brings up the question, you know, how much does Vanderbilt pay Diego Pavia? I would imagine it's a competitive number. Diego Pavia is no dummy. He probably, when he won his case, he was a free agent, just like all these quarterbacks are. And I'm sure he had to come to an agreement to stay at Vanderbilt. I think Vanderbilt's happy to have him.
My other question,
but it's an interesting, no, I mean, we just saw Jalen Carey go across I-40 to go from Vanderbilt to Tennessee for basketball. I'm sure money was a part of it.
What are Nico's pro prospects? Do we expect Nico Iamaliava to stick in the NFL? I can't imagine he's a starting caliber quarterback in the NFL. Maybe he's a backup quarterback, but perhaps he realizes that this is his moment to cash in because he may not have that opportunity at the NFL level. That's something to keep in mind. A lot of Vols fans, I'm sure, would also argue with the fact that Nico probably doesn't deserve a raise. Mm-hmm. He was fine last season. He had more than 2,600 yards, passing yards, I should say, 19 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. For the Vols, they went 10-3. They went to the college football playoff. They got smacked down in the college football playoff. But I'm sure a lot of Vols fans are saying, you don't deserve a raise.
And I would tend to lean toward the Vol fans, because it's not like they were saying, oh my gosh, like, listen, we got this kid and look at us. Like, he is the reason why they are winning. No, he wasn't. It was like their defense was hella good and they had some offense. It wasn't like the year that, 2 years ago? The quarterback.
Hendon Hooker.
It wasn't like a Hendon Hooker.
Those numbers were not that impressive.
Exactly.
There were some games where they struggled to score.
Like
you said, they won with defense.
It wasn't like a Hendon Hooker type year where he just, you knew, like, man, that kid was going to end up being the Heisman Trophy had he not had that one game where he just fell apart and then they end up losing. But we didn't describe Nico in that fashion. It was like, okay, he's a good quarterback, but he's still doing a bunch of things that if Tennessee didn't have a really good team, they would be losing these games. So I would tend to lean with some of the Vol fans that say, you don't deserve a raise, man. So, but this is the system that we're in.
But we talked about this during the break, Derek, mm-hmm. about in the NFL.
Yes.
It's when you sign, right?
Yes.
It's that precedent. a quarterback signs, the next quarterback could sign a week later, but he gets a little bit more money, right? Mm-hmm. Because he signed a week later. So when Nico Iamaliava sees Carson Beck, who, by the way, has won a national title, mm-hmm. two or just one, I can't recall.
Carson, I know he has one.
Either way, he is a national champion.
Yeah, because Stetson Bennett won one.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's a national champion. And he goes from Georgia to Miami. It gets paid $4 million, reportedly. Well, Nico feels like he's up next. Therefore, that sets the threshold for starting quarterbacks in this NIL era.
Yeah, it's
and I think to your question earlier, Adam, I don't think it has anything to do with his pro stock. It's just it's the market for a really good college quarterback. That's what people are paying. It doesn't really matter if he's going to be a pro guy or not. But I see your point, and this is the short-sighted part of all of this. When you're 20, 22 years old, you think, hey, I'm set for life if I make $2 million this year and $4 million next year. And, yeah, you're set for a while, but I'm just going to tell you, I graduated in 1993. It's a long ride, baby. You're not – whatever, it's going to end. Your money is going to run out if you're not preparing yourself at some level for what you're going to do after college. So I joked about, you know, he has a test. That's why he's missing practice. I hope some of these guys are paying some attention to this, because if your whole world is wrapped up on how many last dollars can I squeeze out of the college game before I move on, you're not going to be in a great spot when you're 30, when you're 35, you're 45. Life is a long road.
We were talking about this with Jason Edwards, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
He transferred out of Vanderbilt. By the way, he landed at Providence, so he's Hal Gill's problem now. But Jason Edwards, right. Vanderbilt's leading scorer for the basketball team. Willie, you shared some of the numbers that were floating around for what Jason Edwards wanted. I don't know what Providence ended up giving him. Maybe Providence gave Jason Edwards what he wanted from Vanderbilt. But I don't know if Jason Edwards is going to be a good pro. So to him, he may say, I need to make that extra money because my basketball career may be over after I run out of eligibility in the college ranks.
Yeah, so listen, when you see situations like that, and, like, listen, I hope the kid, you know, plays well enough at Providence where, you know, he has his chances of making the NBA are higher than not, but because there are only few spots in the NBA, it is one of the toughest leagues to get into and stay into just because of the sheer numbers. They're not many. And the contracts and the length of these contracts. So I hope the young man is able to play well enough that he is a high prospect. But based upon what we've seen, him being undersized, more than likely he won't get drafted. Maybe he'll get a workout. Maybe he play overseas. Maybe he goes to the G League.
I don't know what G League salaries are. I can't imagine they're very much because I'm sure there are a lot of college players, mm-hmm. Willie, that stay in college now because they can make more in NIL than if they went pro and played in the G League.
Oh, yeah. And I think they understand that at this point. Jason Edwards, let me just say, I thoroughly enjoyed watching him play. He's mm-hmm. a fun, energy guy.
Yes.
He's a really good player. He's a flawed player, mm-hmm. but he did tremendous things for Vanderbilt. And I don't want to sound like a Mr. Uppity Vanderbilt guy, but that's one of the toughest schools to get into. He could have gotten a degree for Vanderbilt, been a guy that all Vanderbilt fans remember for what he did to lift up a program that had been struggling. He could have been 2 years in there. People will remember him for a long time. You get a degree from Vanderbilt. I think there's a lot to offer there. And now he's going strictly for the highest dollar value, which a lot of kids are doing. So he's not unique. And he's going to Providence. Do you know what Providence's record was last year? Now, what does that really mean? Because you can be a totally different team the next year. But you know what their record was?
Bad.
Bad.
12-20.
Bad.
In the Big East. 6-14 in the league. Maybe they got five Jason Edwardses and they're going to turn it around. He's probably like, well, Vanderbilt was terrible before I got there and I turned them into a winner. He's probably thinking that way. But you're right. He's probably going to go year to year when he turns pro. And whatever league he can get into, he might. I know guys that I played with that went to South America 1 year. They went to Australia 1 year. They went to Italy the next year. And whatever they could get, they got.
Yeah.
And you play as long as you can. That's fun, right? If you love the game. And you're, even if you never make the NBA, that is a lifestyle if you love the game that much.
Yeah, and my thing is with these kids, especially guys like
– I do want to point out that one texter says, I think we've got to stop calling them kids. These are professionals.
Well, yeah,
that's the problem. Because they are kids, but they also are professionals. Both are true.
You're asking these kids to be professionals.
Nico Imaliava is 20 years old.
And they still should be doing teenage things. But now, because of, you know, where we're at in the landscape of college sports, period, now they got to start thinking, and which isn't a bad thing. I don't think it's a bad thing. I wish that I was introduced and educated on finances at that age. I wish I was, because, you know, I wouldn't have possibly made some of the decisions I made as I was growing as an adult when it comes to money. I would have saved better when I was a kid, stuff like that. So I wish I would have gotten that literacy, you know, that they're getting now in regards to money. But the facts remain is a lot of these kids understand that I'm not going to play at the next level, that I'm not. So they are trying to cash in as much as they possibly can, because they know when they get out of college, yes, you got a college degree, and that is great. You better get it. You better get it. Tell my son and daughter.
Okay.
They got. But here's the thing. They know when they come out, they are making no money. So if I can get as much as I can, and when I get out of college, I can have a ladder to step on or stone to step on, and be okay for the first 3 or 4 years while I'm trying to figure things out, then that's what I'm going to do as a college student. Now, I'm not saying that all professional students are thinking that way, but I'm sure there are some that's saying, man, the young lady that decided to come back in basketball, she decided to come back. Why? Because they were paying her more in NIL than they would have paid at the professional level. So these kids are realizing and understanding that now.
And here's the thing. It's enough money. Like, I would really be strongly against all of this if we're talking about 100 grand or 200 grand. But this is real money. When we're talking about specific guys who are in the range of getting a million, 2 million, that's nothing to sneeze at, right? Even though it's in the big picture, you're going to spend that faster than you think. If you're being taxed correctly, you're going to lose a bunch of it right off the top. And you're going to go buy a car. All of these decisions you're going to make with that money, that's a whole separate thing.
But a car come free, because I'm not getting that big and you make me pay for my own car. No, you giving me a car. Exactly. That's in the deal.
But here's the thing. D-Mace, you spent your entire college career at one place. Mm-hmm. I did as well. I had a great experience. I have lifelong friends. Mm-hmm. You have lifelong friends. You college experience every weekend with your buddies. You play your games. You give it your all. You go have fun. You have the college life. And it was consistent for me for 4 years. And I don't know what I would trade for that. How much money would I trade for bouncing around to four different schools? You know, who are your groomsmen at your wedding? Who are the people you can lean on when you need some help down the road? If you're struggling or if you're looking for a new job, you need a recommendation. Who knows you the best? What is that worth? I don't know that these kids really can comprehend that when they're being dangled $1.7 million over here versus $2.7 over here. I mean, how could they? How could they understand the big picture? But I'll tell you, and Derek, I think you would agree, That's worth a lot. It's worth a lot. Those things that you can't put a price on.
I quoted one wrestler in this first hour. I'm going to end the hour by quoting another wrestler. To quote CM Punk, I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to make money. 615-737.
I think he's winning out. I think his philosophy is winning out.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on this. But coming up next, an interesting report about what the Titans could do at a position that's not quarterback in the NFL draft. We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The game.